drink in hand. The dog is quieted, so we'll go ahead and get going. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the BAMF Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and with me today we have kind of an artist's roundtable. Going from left to right, everyone's gathered here in the colossal Fanning or BAMF Podcast bunker, the Palatial Recording Studios. By the way, you guys are lucky. Monday is it's meatloaf in the cafeteria, so get that out of forward to. We have Bradley McDivitt, who does a lot of work all over the business lately for Goodman Games. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We have Mr. Scott Harshberger. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We have Rick Hershey of Empty Room Studios. Are you Empty Room Studios / Adam Entertainment, or are you guys morphed into one thing now, or how does that work?
It's still separate. It's both and neither.
Okay, kind of like an Image Studios kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And we've got my personal favorite in-house comic at Fanning Goat Games, Adrian Smith. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad, thank you very much.
Yeah, and let's all give a virtual round of applause for Adrian for being here at 1 in the morning in the UK time.
No kidding.
Thanks, sir. Well, hey, Bradley, as we were BSing beforehand, you had mentioned, and I've already forgotten the name of this game, forgive me, my memory is terrible. In my defense, that's a long-ass name of this game you're working on right now.
Right. It started, the name of the game is, and I kid you not, Lesbian Ninja Vampire Cheerleaders with Chainsaws Save the World from Zombies. It's the first, to my knowledge, I kind of got, I hope so, the premier role-playing about lesbians, ninjas, vampires, cheerleaders, chainsaws, and zombies saving the world.
And I got
pretty sure that's a unique one.
There is a Buffy role-playing game a year or two ago, man.
Yeah, but I don't think it has it's quite the same.
Okay, now are you writing and drawing this? You got a writer? Are you doing the whole thing? What's the story?
I'm writing it right now. I'm probably going to do pretty much all the artwork myself, if nothing else, just because it'll save money, and I'm not really expecting this to sell that terribly well, but it seems like the general response when I posted various places has been Snickers, and I'd buy that. Which, probably, I'm thinking it's like, great, I have finally found a role-playing game to sell to the yellow raincoat crowd.
I think that's every other role-playing as well, Bradley.
Yeah.
So, what was your inspiration for this? That's a bad question, huh? was it Cinemax?
Actually, I make up quite a few jokes about that. I do offer, in the acknowledgments, Greg Porter's Macho Women with Guns, which I'm sure some of the older gamers are familiar with, Hole from Dirt Merchant Games, and Larry Flint for reasons which should be obvious.
Okay, so when can we expect to see this?
I'm hoping to have it out by the end of the year. It's a matter of, since I'm doing this myself mainly as a giggle, whenever I get an actual job, it kind of like goes on the back burner, except when it's like, got to get this written down, type, and then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, I have bills I've got to pay, so I've got to stop writing about lesbian ninjas and get back to work.
Well, fair enough. You're still doing a lot of work for Battle for the Press right now, aren't you?
I did Eldritch Skies.
Okay. That's coming up. The Kickstarter that was very successful is coming out here pretty soon, I believe.
Yep. I did art myself, Eric Lofgren, and Joel Biskey that used to be with FASA and did some work with both White Wolf and Disney did the artwork.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was, that's been going on for a while. That was a Kickstarter back in 2011, summertime.
I actually seem to remember seeing mention of it at RPGNet. I want to say almost as far back as like 2008 or 2009.
But I think John Sneed had it written for a while, was looking for a home for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thing. So, okay, cool. Moving on. Scott, okay. You want to talk about what you work on these days?
Sure. Besides the Superheroes with Cars thing.
Oh, Justice Wheels from Fanning Goat Games. Yes,
yeah, Justice Wheels.
Which is a great name, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
Let's see. We moved back in June, so I had to take a break. I took a day job. And as one of my other artist friends pointed out to me, it was a good time to try to level up my skills. So I've been working on that. I did a novel cover and some posters for that for advertisement purposes. And then I got back into doing some game art about a month ago.
Yeah, I got to say, you did the first issue of Justice Wheels for us. And if folks want to see it, they go to Indiegogo.com, search for Justice Wheels. We're the only product with that name. You can see kind of this Batman Moon Knight character that we call him the Black Scarab that Scott did for us. I showed that to a bunch of people, and the first response was, oh, my God, Scott's really gotten better.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've heard that from several folks. So, yeah, you really leveled up. Indeed, you did.
Well, that's good to hear. That was the plan, and I'm glad it's working out. So, we've got a lot going on.
What's the novel you did the cover for?
It's called Rust and Salt. It's a startup first novel for a guy here in Texas. And it turned out pretty well. I think he's going to follow up with a couple more if he can and try to keep plugging away like we all do.
Yeah. Is he doing anything to fund it, a Kickstarter or anything?
No, I think it was self-funded. I think he keeps a day job of some sort. And he's doing this stuff on the side.
Mm. Hey, just out of curiosity, I mean, it's the RPG business, so I'm guessing, does everyone else here have a day job as well?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
You're an artist full-time, Rick?
Yeah, full-time, all the time.
Wow.
All day long.
Rick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you stay pretty busy, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I start working usually when the kids go to school, and I usually stop about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm. So. Wow, that's a punishing schedule, man.
Well, I get random breaks in between, but for the most part, that's what I do.
Okay. Oh, hey, sorry, the dog got upset there for a second. Well, hey, Rick, since we're talking to you, you're working on a bunch of stuff right now. I know everyone knows about Far West from Adamant, which is supposed to be releasing soon?
I should be starting layout on that probably in the next week. And then we'll have that wrapped up, and that'll be out. And then I'll be moving on to start working on the Far West comic.
Oh, I didn't know there was going to be a comic.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to be doing print and digital, but we're going to be doing, setting it up for, digital viewing, so, that's what I'm doing with Far West right now, so.
Okay, that's cool. What else do you have going on?
I just launched, I work with, Fat Goblin Games.
Mm-hmm.
We put out, like, Pathfinder-compatible, books. We just started, thecreaturedaily.com. With Wolfgang Barr.
That's Daily Encounters for Pathfinder?
Yeah, it's like a monster a day subscription site, and I do all the artwork for that and run the website. So
it's kind of like a dungeon a day that was a Monty Cook was trying to do?
Yeah, it's a lot like that, but it's just different themed creatures. So we usually pick like a theme for the month, and then about 20 creatures a month.
Cool.
Oh, cool, yeah. Okay. And let's see. So you got that. You got that else going on. I know you've done some really amazing stuff for us on Justice Wheels, not to flog that horse anymore, but you have.
Yeah, I do. That's actually been fun. I don't get to do a lot of superhero stuff. That's been a lot of fun. Beyond that, I mean, I do lots of artwork for Wolfgang and Open Design and Kobold Quarterly. I do a lot of stuff for Dreamscarred Press, so keep them busy.
Oh, hey, I guess we should mention you're going to be doing some, you did a lot of art for Kaiser's Gate for Savage Worlds, which is a Kickstarter that Butterfield Press is doing, and you've agreed to do some vehicle and monster flats for them if the Kickstarter reaches, I think it's $4,000.
Yeah. I actually haven't done, when we talked about it, but I've done about 300 or so, like paper miniatures and that type of type of art, so yeah, I'm actually kind of excited because I haven't done them in probably about 3 or 4 years, so.
Right, that should be fine. I hope we hit the numbers. I'm interested to see that. So, well, cool. Well, hey, moving on to Mr. Adrian Smith. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
Hey, I didn't hear, do you have a day job?
Nope.
Okay.
This is me all the time.
Nice. Okay, cool. I am jealous because it's hard to balance the day. I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree. It's kind of hard for me to balance the whole day job and the, you know, this becomes sort of a large hobby on the side.
Oh, yeah.
So, Adrian, what are you working on these days?
Pretty much everything for you at the moment, I believe. Which is good, yeah. We're doing the obviously Justice Wheels. We've got the Improbable Tales Adventures coming out as well, which is pretty cool.
We've got something else going on in the back burner.
Yes.
But I don't know if we're going to talk about that yet. It'll be a big project with Icons, and I think it's still in development, though. But it'll be huge, like the Star Destroyer in the beginning of Star Wars. It'll be that big.
Yeah, no, apart from that, just I'm still doing the old Mutants Masterminds Western tape book that I've been talking about for the last 5 or 6 podcasts that I've been on here, but that will get finished eventually once upon a time, so yeah, that's pretty much it. Really, so.
I would love to see that when it comes out. Any kind of time frame on that?
No idea at all. It just, like I say, it gets done when I'm not doing other things, so I've actually got some couple of pages written like the week this week just gone, so... hopefully it'll be like anything between 40 to 60 pages long once it's out, so we'll see. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, all good.
Well, hey guys, if we want to open up and talk about artistic techniques, I'm curious, how many of you guys actually still work with pen and paper, or is it all like Cintiq tablets now?
I have a Wacom sitting here, but I really haven't had time to do much with it, so I'm still pretty much a pen and paper kind of guy.
Okay, Eric, I thought you started to stick up there.
Sorry.
I'm all digital now. Probably 4 years, 5 years now.
Do you ever just pick up a notepad and sketch for fun?
I wish I had time to do that.
Yeah. Scott, how about you?
I still use a sketchbook frequently just because I'm on the go, but I prefer to work digitally if I can.
Hmm. Okay, why is that?
It's quicker, and it's cleaner. You get cleaner lines, and it's a lot easier in a sketchbook, or especially inking. It's not as easy just to hit Control-Z and undo what you just did if you mess up, or if you just, you know, laid out a stroke that you're not happy with. Whereas on the computer, you know, it's pretty simple just to back up a few steps and go at it again.
Okay, cool. Hey, how much do you guys use Photoshop and that kind of thing for inking or coloring?
I'm actually inking a picture right now.
I ink on Manga Studio and then I color on Photoshop. That's what I do at the moment.
Okay. How about the rest of y'all?
Go ahead.
I do everything entirely in Photoshop. So, drawing, coloring, inking, everything.
Okay. How about you, Brad?
I started out as a Corel kind of guy, but within about a year and a half ago, I switched over to Photoshop, and I'm more and more moving into digital, you know, starting to do actual more coloring, my general tonal work, but I still just, for the basic black and white, you know, the base image, I still just ink it and then scan it in.
Okay. How much do you guys, like, kind of spitball off other artists and kind of, you know, compare styles and, you know, see what they're working on and, you know, straight tips?
Always.
Kind of, always?
Yeah.
Always.
I mean, these three guys here, I've looked at all their stuff today. I'm jealous of every single one of their artworks. They're really annoying. But, yeah, always, constantly. I mean, I know I've seen, like I say, we saw the first Justice War stuff come through. I was like, oh, great, there you go. I've got to leave up to that now. That's not very good. So, yeah. It's, yeah, definitely it's inspirational by loads of different people, so.
Yeah, what were you saying, Rick?
That's pretty accurate, man. I spend a good portion of my day looking at other people's artwork and, you know, reading what they have to say, and tutorials, and just trying to keep up to, you know, constantly improving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, maybe this is Ted Taboos. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Adrian?
No, I was going to say, do you guys see the Imagine FX magazine about the digital artwork? Do you get that over in the US, or...?
Yeah, it's available over here.
Yeah, that's right, because I get that most months, and that is something I will look at and go, great, you know, you're up now kind of thing, might as well just quit. But there's a lot of good stuff in there about various techniques for everything, pretty much, so that's what I kind of reference every month, so.
I know, I was thinking about starting to get it when I start moving more into digital. I was going to grab an issue a couple months back, and then I thought it was like $15 for like 60 pages. Like, that's a little bit rich for my blood right now.
It is pretty expensive, yeah. I mean, these actual kind of brushes for Photoshop and stuff, there's sometimes there's nothing in it, sometimes there's a lot in it. It really is hit and miss, but it's a pretty decent magazine, so.
Oh, I could tell from the issue that I leafed through, it's like, this looks golden, but it was just like, I don't have $15 on me right now, and, since I knew I wasn't going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to make the jump to digital, like, right now, it's just, I'm just going to hold off.
Well, hey, maybe this is a taboo subject, but something I was kind of curious about. You know, I'm a writer, so with his own set of headaches, you know, I do some publishing as well, but for you guys as artists, are there, you know, special kinds of frustrations you deal with in the RPG field?
Who wants to go first?
Meted
with dead silence.
Yeah, well, let's just say, let's not name any names of, you know, sons of bees who still might owe you for a commission 3 years ago or whatever. But, you know, just in general, you know, things that you find aggravating. Or let's say if you guys were talking to an audience of publishers, things that you would want to suggest for better ways to work with artists.
I'll go ahead and say I stepped out of the industry for about a year and a half and took a contract job for a large corporation. And I know that's kind of taboo in itself. Some people consider that selling out, but, you know, the paycheck was nice. Mm. And granted, I was kind of in a creative box I couldn't step out of. But getting paid what you're really worth in this industry is sometimes difficult.
Yeah,
I hear snickers.
Yeah.
Bradley, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that none of us are making anywhere near what our skills would be worth if, you know, in a real world setting, you know, most of us should be making $50, $60, $70 an hour equivalently, and I'm betting some of us are probably making the equivalent of about $4 or $5 by the time we get all the illustrations done and all the paperwork and the dealings with such done. So, I mean, that's why I was snickering. Was that you, Scott, that was saying that some people thought you were selling out because you took a corporate job for a year?
Yeah.
We're commercial artists.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We get paid to draw. End of story, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I had no shame in it. I just heard, you know, comments.
Does that express my opinion of such comments?
Yeah.
Hate is going to hate.
Exactly.
As Ben Kenobi once said. Well, hey, Rick and Adrian, you guys are... I'm sorry, Scott, were you saying something?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry. Rick and Adrian, you guys are full-time artists, so what do you find most frustrating?
For me, it's clients that take the job as a hobby, and they usually are the ones who neglect to pay on time or neglect to pay at all. That's frustrating for me. You know, because I solely provide for my wife and 3 kids. So
yeah.
When a client goes, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks before you get paid, or, you know, stops sending me giving me money at all, you know, that messes up my family, you know.
Oh, shit. Expect. Rick, do I owe you money right now?
No, I don't think so. Actually, I think I owe you artwork.
Okay, whew. I was feeling guilty there for a second, man. Hey, Adrian, how about your thoughts on that subject?
Well, I mean, the thing I probably had more trouble with than anything else was actually getting noticed in the first place, because I know when I started doing stuff, I sent a load of artwork off to Mongoose Publishing for the Travel line, and I did, like, about 8 or 9 pieces for them or whatever it was, and obviously you send it off in the hopes they'll say, oh yeah, you're great, you know, never hear anything, and you think, yeah, okay, did they like it, did they not like it, am I doing something wrong anyway, or is it, you know, fundamentally just complete crap, and they don't really know, so I think that's the problem, getting noticed by people, I find to be quite difficult, so, I'd say once you guys, I would say, Chris Kowski at Bash and Levi Moat, he gave me, I did the card game for him, the Infinite Palace card game. It's these people just gave me the actual chance to do something for him, so it was really good stuff. So, yeah. That's all I can say, really.
If I can pop in for just a second on that, I've noticed also that with the turnover in art, in this industry, you have to reacquaint yourself to all the art directors every couple of years. I've had it happen that, and I will not name any names here, I worked, it used to do a ton of work for a particular company. They had a changeover in the art directors, and I was went to talk to the new art director, and they was like, oh, this is very nice. Have you ever been published anywhere? The thing was, the portfolio that I was showing the person was all tear sheets from the magazine that they did.
Okay.
Yes.
So they were very familiar with the back catalog.
What's that?
They were very familiar with their back catalog.
Oh, they obviously were not even familiar with their own company's magazine.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of deals get made because people have drinks at conventions, they like each other, and you know.
Sure.
This just seems to be how things flow. I don't know. My first break into the RPG business was, boy, back in the mid-90s, there was a call out, an open call for writers at White Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I got this letter back that, you know, hey, we like your stuff, you're going to get published. And I was on cloud nine for like 3 days, and then 3 months went by and I heard nothing from them. And actually, I guess I'm still waiting here in 2012.
So. Oh, really?
White Wolf, if you're listening, you put me in, coach. I'm good to go. But, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's I have to think of it more of as a hobby, because I thought of it as a business. There's just too many things you get mad about, because, you know, it's, maybe think of it as a flea market. It's kind of a hybrid of a hobby and a business.
You have to develop a very, very thick skin in, well, almost saying this, but especially in the art or write or creative business, you have to just learn to shrug off the criticisms and the ignores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Would
that's
you agree
true.
With that, guys?
That's very true.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I think any creative business is probably important to develop a, you know, a healthy self-esteem. Of course, if you had healthy self-esteem, you might not be in creative businesses to begin with, I suppose.
Touché. If I had listened to one particular, not an art director, but a very famous artist that I once asked to critique my portfolio, and this was very early on, obviously, he told me the best thing I could do was to take all my art supplies and throw them in the river and never draw again. Needless to say, I didn't... you know, take that his advice.
That's not good.
No, welcome.
So, how do you guys think? Do you guys think things have changed much in the business with the advent of crowdsourcing? I mean, are paychecks becoming more reliable, and is there more art out there, or are things pretty much still the same at the artist level?
Who wants to go first?
I mean, I've only, the only thing I've had with obviously Kickstarter is the stuff we do in Probable Tales and all that. Obviously, in interest, it's handy to know that you will get paid up front, effectively. You know that there's a market there, and you know that there's people that are actually willing to look at this product on the shelves as well. So you're hoping, okay, well, I've sold to whatever, 30 contributors, whatever, then you get, hopefully that's going to go to more. So it's nice to actually know, rather than, I mean, 10 years ago, I self-published like a manga-style comic myself, put loads of money into it, and did slide in with it, and it was like, okay, well, that was wasted money kind of thing. So it's, you know, it's nice to know once you've raised the money up front, you can kind of focus actually sit down and actually draw the damn thing in the first place, rather than having to worry about having to fund it all at the end of the day kind of thing.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I guess I have a confession to make. About once every 18 months, maybe 12 months, I forget that I've emailed Rick about this in the past. I emailed Rick and asked him what his rates are for young graphic novels.
Yeah. I wait for those emails.
I'm sorry, Rick. I really am. I drink gravelly. That's my only excuse.
I'm like, one day if we're going to do this graphic novel that I keep being asked about.
Well, I get different ideas, and sometimes I think I got this great idea for a World War II superheroes graphic novel, and there's not really one on the stands right now, and it'd be a great time for it. And then I'm like, oh my god, that would cost how many thousands of dollars, and you know. Yeah. Well, the Kickstarter, I guess you could just do like 3 or 4 pages and see if people are interested in funding it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Character designs and the story brief, and that's kind of, if people are interested, they'll let you know. So that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, go ahead, Rick. What'd you say?
So that's true. I mean, I kickstarted a graphic novel last year, and
how'd that go?
I'm still working on it. I changed writers, so that's kind of slowed everything down. And last year was just a rough year for me, so.
Right. Yeah, now you had a lot going on, yeah.
Yeah, so still working on it, so hopefully it'll eventually get done. But
what was the name of that one? People want to. Is there a webpage people can look at?
There's a Facebook page and the Kickstarter page, but it's H.P. Lovecraft's Wonderland is what we're doing.
I remember that. Yeah. Are we going to see that in the webcomic form first, or how are you doing that?
Right now, I'm not sure. Originally, we were just planning on doing just a graphic novel and then shop it around.
Mm-hmm.
So I might still do that, because, I mean, I think I've done, like, 3 graphic novels. So I know some publishers that would be interested in it, so I might just go that route.
Cool. Well, hey, let me ask you a question, because, you know, as a game writer, I love to write games, I love to roleplay, but, you know, there's a little kid in the back of my head who's been reading Marvel Comics since, you know, junior high school, who really wants to do, you know, comics. As artists, let's start with Bradley and move around the circle. You guys have, you know, kind of a pet project you keep in the back of your mind to think about doing?
What, as a comic book?
Well, not just in general. If you weren't doing game illustration, well, what would be the thing that you'd want to go after?
I would actually pursue more actual flat-out game writing. Besides the Lesbian Ninjas game, I have a couple more humor games that are kind of sitting there saying, you want to write us one of these days. 2 horror games that are, one that's almost done and just kind of like stalled, and another game that's about halfway done and just kind of stalled because it's like, I would like this idea, but does the world need any more horror games right now? I really kind of got the comics bug out of my system a long time ago, basically. And I don't have the attention span to, like, actually write the great American horror novel or whatever you would want to call it. So, yeah, mostly just writing gaming stuff.
Oh, cool, cool. Mr. Harshberger?
Yes, sir.
How would you answer that question?
Well, that's kind of what I've been doing and starting to do right now. I've been planning for a couple of years. Now I'm moving into the production process. So I've got the comic series, the webcomic that we're going to start in June, again, called Worldview Warriors. And that's kind of a culmination of several years of creating characters and super teams and villains and just basically creating my own universe of supers. And then the games that I'm making with Harsh Realities are exactly that as well. They're pet projects that I've had on the back burner since 98. So finally kind of starting to kick some of that stuff out for public consumption, I hope.
Hey, Scott, before I forget, is there a website for the webcomic that we should put in the show notes?
Not yet. That'll be coming probably next month.
Okay, that's cool. We'll maybe have you back on to talk about that when that launches.
That'd be great.
So, Mr. Hershey, to you.
In the industry, probably doing something with my Steampunk Musha property. We're actually gearing up to do that as a role-playing game, probably kickstart that.
Now what property is that?
Steampunk Musha.
Oh!
Because I haven't really done anything with it, but I get a lot of people who just periodically pop out of nowhere and we're like, are you doing the book for it? So that's our plan, is to do that next.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that for so long, I thought it was done. I apologize. I remember Chuck Rice did a D20 conversion for you a couple of years back.
Yeah, he did that, and, you know, I had a lot of people work on it, and, you know, I don't know if it's me, but I'm just never happy with it. I ended up redesigning all the character, all the concepts, all the visuals for the game numerous times. But we're going to actually sit down and do a Pathfinder version of it. But, I mean, it's going to be a big book, probably 400 or 500 pages.
Wowzers.
Well, hey, why don't we, for any uninitiated listeners, why don't we tell them what Steampunk Musha is?
Basically, it's a Victorian Oriental style game. It takes place on an island, and it's it's just a Asian fantasy with lots of kitchen sink type concepts that I always wanted to put into a game. So it's my pet project. So it's been going on like 8 years now. So
if I wanted to point someone to a website, tells them all about Steampunk Musha. Where can I send them?
Oh, right now, nowhere. So.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
We do have a Facebook page. We do have a Steampunk Mission Facebook page, but that's about as close as you're going to find right now.
Okay, cool. I think that link comes up pretty fast on Google. I'll send them there. So, okay. Hey, Mr. Adrian Smith, how do you answer that question? What's your dream project?
Ooh, well, I've dabbled in the past with a couple of novel actual proposals for stuff. I've sent off a couple of .2 novel proposals to BBC, and I've started a steampunk novel about 5 or 6 years ago that kind of got about 4 chapters in and then rewritten about 5 times and that kind of thing. That's something I've always wanted to do. But comics is the thing. I would absolutely love to actually get a comic, like every so often monthly comic or a graphic novel out that with my name on it would be marvellous. yeah, that's something.
Now, let me ask you guys, I mean, it's kind of a big jump going from game art to going to sequential artwork like in comics, right?
Not really for me.
Really? That's okay.
Yeah, I didn't think so. This is it. People have asked me in the past about the sequential stuff, and I said, well, yeah, I'm sure.
Well, Scott, you're making a jump to webcomics. What do you think about that?
I think it's pretty similar. There's a difference between a pinup and an illustration actually tells a story, and that's kind of what you're doing in sequentials as well.
Right.
So, I mean, it's pretty similar stuff.
Okay, that's cool. I actually had a sort of experiment with comic books way back in the day. I was working with an artist, and I was trying to flesh out his ideas into a script. And he's like, all right, I got some limitations here. I can't draw boats, so there's no boats in the script. I can't draw people who aren't wearing spandex, so everyone's always in uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like those things from top-down or bottom-up perspective, so it's got to be straight on. I was like, I tell you what, watch the draw if you want to draw, and I'll come around and just, like, put in words. We'll just do, like, you know, Stan and Jack back in the day, because, you know, a lot of limitations. But, cool. What, anything else you guys, any other thoughts you have about, you know, being an artist in the RPG business or, you know, things, topics you want to talk about?
That's a good question.
Well, Bradley, how about you? I mean, you got a ton of stuff going on, right?
Yeah. Besides, you know, doing the world's first X-rated role-playing game there, I currently am working on the Dungeon Crawl Classics stuff for Goodman Games. I'm actually finishing the artwork for the Dungeon Crawl Classics pre-RPG Day module tonight. Actually, I need to finish it in about the next 90 minutes or so, or Joseph's going to have my head. I should be starting on Age of Cthulhu 7 probably within the next 3 weeks. I'm also... Oh, God. Doing several covers for a small role-playing game company in England called Kittywick Classics. The next Agents of Swing book for Postmortem Studios. A couple other jobs. I can't even keep track of all of them right now. I mean, that's what I have a wife for. She tells me what I'm supposed to be working on at any one moment.
I wish more artists had a wife like yours.
Yeah, well... Jess works in the industry. She actually does layouts. Well, you should know, Mike.
Jess did a lot of layout for us. Well, when I was working at Vigilance Press, which I don't anymore, but when I did, she had a lot of layout, and I was very happy with her work. She did good stuff.
She's a bit of an obsessive perfectionist that way, but that's what you want in a layout artist.
Yeah. I used to do layout back in the day, but when I was doing layout, it involved hot wax.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, it's way back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old, Brad. That's what I'm saying. I'm old.
I just barely graduated from kindergarten, Mike.
You're a spring chicken. Well, hey, Scott, anything else you want to touch on?
I was thinking, you mentioned earlier you asked us what we're working on, and I just happen to think of a couple more that I'm getting ready to start. I'm doing some minis with Brett Bernstein, Priestess Intermedia.
Oh, when you say minis, what do you mean?
They're cardboard minis for tabletop games.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, but he does tons of sets. I mean, he's done hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Priestess is an interesting company. They almost have, like, their own following. They seem like they're really, I mean, they're always, like, real solid. They always seem to have, you know, a real developed fan base. So what are these minis you're working on? What's the genre?
These are for, it's kind of a prohibition period, noir type game.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of, you know, things that go bump in the night, that kind of stuff.
Really? So it's like Magic and Prohibition?
Yes.
Oh, what's the name?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Sorry.
And I think it's Blood Shadows, I want to say.
Okay, it's been around for a while, yeah.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, that was inspiration for a game I did a few years ago that I won't mention because it's out of print now, but that's pretty cool.
The Over West End game.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's been around a long time. It's cool stuff.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
I want to say like 93 or 94 at the latest.
Mm-hmm. Back when Bill Clinton was a president. And
I remember those.
And there's one other plug if I could make. I've been doing quite a bit of kind of trade work with Spectrum Games, Cynthia Miller.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds very familiar. What do they do?
Yeah, she does Slasher Flick, and I'm going to butcher this name because I'm from the Midwest. Is it Macabre or...
Macabre
Tales.
That's great. Yeah,
she's really into the Cthulhu type stuff.
Man, Cthulhu is huge. How'd this happen?
Well, he's now the god.
Yeah, but he's like everywhere. Like the last 5 years, I go on RPG Now, and it's always like there's four products in the top 20 that have, you know, some kind of Mythos Lovecraft basis to them.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any idea how hard it is actually these days to draw Cthulhu and not have it be a cliche?
No, I imagine it's pretty damn hard because he's everywhere.
Yeah. Just a little anecdote. Last year, Rogue Games wanted me to do a picture of Cthulhu for a fan for their Shadow Sword and Spell game.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 3 weeks before I could figure out how to draw Cthulhu and not have him look stupid. It's like, yeesh.
Well, man, is Cthulhu just overdone?
Pretty much so.
Anybody want to argue the point? Any Cthulhu fans here?
Well, I'd love to do it. Yeah, but we've got
no
Alastair, haven't we? In one of our games coming up, so we can't really.
Oh yeah, we got yeah.
We can't really. So yeah, I would.
I moved to strike my previous remarks from the record. Sorry. Well, hey, you know, open up the broader subject. Is there anything you guys think is just overdone in the business artistically and should die a horrible death, or is that taboo we don't want to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Stunning silence, okay. Anybody like just sick of seeing Dark Elves and Pathfinder supplements or anything?
I can't think of anything at all.
The only thing that springs to mind to me personally, and this is not a knock on anyone who works digitally, because I love artists. Well, like, Greg, I didn't realize that you work digitally at all. Ditto what I've seen of your stuff, Scott. It's obviously done on the computer, but it looks hopelessly anonymous. And I won't name any names for obvious, you know, not only for professionals, but a lot of the purely CGI stuff, just it all kind of blends in together to me.
Now, that
maybe,
is that,
maybe
awesome.
That is
yeah.
Just...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, that uses the 3D animation kind of software to just chuck some clothes on so that'll do the artwork. That's not artwork.
No, I wasn't even thinking poser stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a can of worms, isn't it?
No, I'm like I said, Rick, I couldn't, if you had told me that I had no idea that you were purely digitally, I mean, your stuff still retains all of its own personality. Ditto artists like RK Post or Tom Baxa, who I know they all work digitally, but they are still their own artist. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, sure. It makes sense to me.
Okay. Hey, Eric, was there anything else you wanted to touch on or plug before we call it a podcast?
Let's see. No, not really. Buy books that have my artwork in it so people keep giving me money to draw pictures.
Well, if we're going to say that, if someone wants to contact you for a commission, Rick, how do they get a hold of you?
They can contact me through Empty Room Studio website. My email is just rick@emptyroomstudios.com.
Okay, cool. Adrian, anything else you want to mention or other stuff you want to delve into?
I agree with Rick. Just give me more money to do things. I want to draw for you. If you're interested, yeah, send me stuff and I will draw anything. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Hey, would all you guys like to mention your email addresses in case someone wants to get a hold of you for commissions or whatever?
Okay.
Well, funny, the easiest way to get to me is my Twitter, direct message on Twitter, which is MonkeyXUK on Twitter.
Okay, cool. We mentioned Rex. Brad, Scott, you want me to mention that, or we can just put in the show notes, whatever you're more comfortable with?
Sure, you can reach me through harshweb.com.
Harshweb.com?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Mr. McDevitt?
Just at BK McDevitt. That's MCDEV, as in Victor, ITT, at yahoo.com.
All right, cool. If you mention it in the podcast but not on the website, that means you get a lot less spam. So I'm trying to help you out that way. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time. We've been talking for coming up on a better part of an hour. So really appreciate it. Let's see. I think we covered all the subjects we meant to. Folks, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.